1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
That rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. So if you choose the title today, Study of God's Word, you may give it that title, or consider it the subject that we'll be look at today in the lesson. That rock was Christ. The passage the brothers just read ties in with the passage that was read earlier, the passage that was taken from Exodus chapter 17 and verse 2 through verse 6. Here one you have way back here in Exodus and one way back there in Corinthians, and both passages are dealing with the same subject. They are important and rich lesson which the Almighty God has for us today. Now, from the journey of the Israelite from Egypt to the Promised Land, there are much to learn from this travel of the Israelite. Today we look at some of the important divine lessons that were meant to be of help to us today. The Almighty God inspiring the Apostle Paul to let us know that these things that God directed his servants to record, that they were record for our benefit. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says what? That whatsoever things were written aforetime,
were written for our learning.
They were written. What the Almighty God is saying through the inspired writer. What we have in the Bible is no accident. Whatever you find there, God wanted it there in the Bible. And while we are not under the Old Testament, that is, those of us living this side of the cross, very important that you get this. Those of us living here, we are not under the Old Testament. That is, to guide our lives and our conduct, we are under the New Testament. But the Old Testament is put there by God for us to learn from. And what the brothers just read in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 is on that very point, that whatsoever things were written aforetime means before. Whatsoever things were written before, they were written for our learning. And what that passage is also telling us is that God had a part in those things being written. The business you hear ignorant men and women said, the Bible was written by man. And what they are implying, because there are a lot of truth that the Bible was written by man, but what ignorant men and women are saying is that the Bible is a man-made book. It is not. The Bible is from God. But he employed human being to write. So today we look at some of the important divine lessons that were meant to be of help to us. When the journey that Israel took from Egypt to the promised land, when that journey is examined, we notice that the journey was by stage. We want to look on about three. I don't know if time will permit us to look at four things from this, and most likely, in fact, the lesson is meant to be a two-part lesson. You want to make sure you don't miss the last part of this lesson, hopefully, if God is willing, next week. But we look on the fact that the journey that Israel took was by stage. And that's the way God planned it, by stage. I mean that God meant for the Israel journey not to be a one-shot relay, but that they take it stage by stage. That is covering a certain distance at a given time or within a given few days or a given few weeks. God planned it like that. And you know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? Life in general and the Christian life in particular is a succession of stages. The life that you and I live, it's a life that was meant to be by stages. In fact, whether you or I want to live it like that or not, life is by stages. We do not live all of our lives in 1 week. We do not have all the experiences that we do have or need to have in 1 week or 1 year. We do not achieve what we want to achieve in 1 week or 1 month. We do not have all the unpleasant experiences, thank God, in 1 week. Life in general is by stages. We cover so much at any given day, at any given week, any given month. And we can never cover all we need to cover, achieve all we need to achieve, accomplish all we need to accomplish, deal with all the unpleasant problems we need to deal with. We can never deal with them in 1 day or 1 week or 1 month. Life was never meant to be like that. Neither was the journey that God's people, the Israelites, took, guided by the Almighty God. Let us hear Paul and the fact that life is by stages. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. 2 verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us hear these passages. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 through verse 14.
Not as though I had already attained,
mm-hmm.
either were already perfect.
Mm-hmm. Paul says, I have not reached where I want to reach. I am not spiritually what I should. Read on.
But I follow after. If that I may apprehend.
What he's saying. I am progressing towards. You see, because life is a stage, you have to cover a certain amount of ground at a time. Read on.
That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Wait. He used some words there. Read that again.
That for which also.
That whole statement. Back up.
I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
I am called to, or I am held for Christ Jesus. Read on, apprehended.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
Wait, you wonder why he's using, well, of course, it's a King James translator. What he's saying, Jesus Christ grabbed me up for a purpose. But he said, I have not yet completely grabbed up for that which I was grabbed up. That's right. In other words, Jesus Christ held me for a purpose. Now, the purpose for which he has held me, while I am holding on to that purpose, I have not completed my job. Read on.
But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind.
That is, whatever ground I have covered, I put those behind me. Wait. Whatever failure might have been in the past, I put those behind me. Read on.
And reaching forth.
I reach forward.
Unto those things. Which are before.
Which are ahead of me. All of this is pointing out, don't move, that life is a stage. What verse are you?
Verse 13.
Read on.
I press toward. The mark for the prize.
Wait, brother, he's telling you that he no reach the mark yet. You see, life is by stage, the Christian life. We do not gain all the Christian experience in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. We were not meant to do that. The same way the Almighty God didn't mean for us when we were born to become adult in 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. You see, life is by stage. Read.
Of the high calling of God.
I press towards the mark of the high calling
of God.
Of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. What verse is that?
Verse 14.
Step now. To 2 Peter, and the same point that life is a succession of stages. Read.
2 Peter chapter 1.
Verse 5 through verse 8, a well-known passage.
And besides this. Giving all diligence.
That is, Brother McFarlane, put out effort. The business of giving all diligence, put out effort to do what?
Add to your faith virtue.
Wait. You have to do some addition. Amen. Add to your faith
virtue.
Virtue. Read.
And to virtue knowledge.
And to virtue knowledge. Wait, brothers and sisters and visiting friends. You see the point here? This is growth and development. We do not achieve all we need to achieve in 1 week, 1 month, or 1 year. We have to do some addition. We have to progress towards that mark of the high calling in Christ. And add to faith virtue.
And to virtue knowledge.
To virtue knowledge.
And to knowledge temperance.
To knowledge temperance.
And to temperance patience.
To temperance patience.
And to patience godliness.
And to patience godliness. Read.
And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. For if
Christian,
these,
remember, all these are applicable to us. This is telling us the path of growth, progress, and development that we are to make. This is telling us, when it used the word add, it implies grounds to be covered or progress to be made. Because life is by stages. Read on.
For if these things be in you, and abound.
Notice. If these things just listed are in you. But thank God that additional phrase was added. If they are in you and what?
And abound.
Abound mean to grow. If they are in you and grow, that if you make the other stage after you have covered this stage, and so on, it will make you read.
They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord.
Jesus Christ wants productive Christians. Are we all there? So life is a succession of stages. Brothers and sisters, most of us can handle only one day challenge or evil at any time. Wait. Yes, a lot of time we are surrounded by many challenges. But in many cases, we can deal with just one or two at a time. May I? Untold numbers of men and women, including Christians, become discouraged, not only discouraged, but devastated, trying to bear today's problem, next day problem, next week problem, next month problem, next year problem. They bungle all of them up today. And many men and women end up with nervous breakdown, end up in Bellevue, end up with lifelong illnesses, because they are taking up, in fact, some people look for problem. Did you know that Jesus Christ warned against this? May I? You are dealing with that broken leg or the arthritis in a joint. Okay, you lift up something and you feel a little pain in the hand. It's not anything of consequence. But you know what? You start fretting. Say, see, they know, the arthritis reach, man, you know. No, my God, let the doctor tell you that. Stop fretting about it. It not come yet. Jesus Christ warned us against that. Let us turn to the passage of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Let us hear it, brother. Let us hear it.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Wait. Very important that we get this. Jesus Christ said the challenge, the evil, and the problem that comes your way today is enough. What Jesus Christ, the Master, now? Let read on.
Every day has trouble enough of its own.
You know, we have not learned that. And if we could ever learn that, today's problem is enough. Deal with today's problem, challenge, evil, issue. Don't begin to try to deal with, wait until tomorrow come. Wait until next week come, you deal with next week problem. It will make our lives less stressful. Truly. Brother, read it from the different, read the first bold part there again. Sufficient.
Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Okay. He's going to read this from about three or four other translations. Now, but before, sufficient, that's the Master speaking. He said, sufficient unto the day are the evil. The evil that are contained in today is what? The 15 or 16, whatever. The evil, the challenges, the problem that are you have to deal with today. Deal with it. The problem that you see coming up tomorrow, please, don't try to deal with it yet. Tomorrow not come yet. That's what Christ is saying. Sufficient unto the days are the evil thereof. Now read it in that first.
Take the trouble of the day as it comes.
That's the same thing, you know. Take the trouble of the day as it comes. Read the other one.
For today, today's troubles are enough.
That's the other. Today's problem and evil and trouble are enough. Read the other one.
One day's trouble is enough for one day.
One day trouble is enough for one day. No, and no fool like me, I say that. It's Jesus Christ. Read the other one.
Every day has trouble enough of its own.
Huh? So remember where we are coming from? That most of us, we try to deal with today's problem, next day problem, and the following day's problem, and next, we try to deal with them all at once, and that create all sort of illnesses and unhappiness for us. Jesus Christ, the Master, is saying, deal with each day problem. We are still on the fact that, that the journey that the Israelite took was by stage. And that life was meant by God to be by stage. Are we all there? Secondly, the journey that the Israelite took was not only by stage, but it was according to God's command and God's direction. Christian, the life we strive to live as Christian must be by God's command and by Jesus' direction. When the prophet of old, Jeremiah, tell us in somewhere there, Jeremiah, is it 10, 16, O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step. Jeremiah 10:23. Not only was the Israelite journey by stage, covering only so much distance at a time, I said that life is by stage, our lives, but that their journey was by God's direction and God's command. The Christian journey is like that. Don't ever try to make your own rule for Christianity, for the church, for worship, for serving God. You cannot. That has to be revealed. Look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. The fact that the journey was by God's command. Let us hear it. Exodus chapter 17, 1.
And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness to Sin.
Mm-hmm. They journey from the wilderness
of Sin.
Of Sin. That's the name of that, the wilderness of Sin. Read.
After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord.
According to how did they journey? According to God's commandment. Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, if you are going to live the Christian life, if you want to know how to live the Christian life, among the first thing you need to acknowledge is that your path must be directed by the gospel of Christ. Wait. You see all this business about the church of your choice? There is no such thing in God's scheme of things. The Almighty God gives us the choice of food. That's why he makes so. What a blessed God. Just the multiplicity of fruits, the multiplicity of vegetables, and even meat kind. All of the physical things of life, the Almighty God gives us choice. But Christian and visiting friend, learn this. When it comes to pleasing God, when it comes to serving God, you and I have no choice. That's right. That's why the Christian pathway is described as the way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Don't try to serve God your way. That is impossible. Don't try to make your own rule for Christianity. Don't try to worship according to the way you like it. Wait. Don't look for the worship that you like. Try to find the worship that is revealed in the gospel. Wait, do you know that even the worship of the Israelite, that was dictated by God? Their journey was not only by stage, it was by God's command and God's directive. Following the guiding cloud. Ooh. Brothers and sisters, the important, well, the great substance of this lesson coming up next week, when we're going to speak about when they reach that point where they thirst for water. And it is at that point we are going to come upon the rock, where according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it tells us that that rock was Jesus Christ. But we won't reach that until next week. But for now, let us look at this. Not only, we are still on the point that it was by God's command, the journey, and that the very, you know, if I ask you to go downtown now, there's a lot of direction you can take. You can take Marcus Garvey and you go to Three Mile and what. You can go from here to Halfway Tree and go through Halfway Tree to Crossroad. And you can also go up to Governor General Gate and, oh my God. But may I? The journey the Israelites took was not the easiest journey. But it was dictated by the Almighty God. And brothers and sisters, in fact, look at Exodus. I told you that they had, not only did the Almighty God commanded and give direction for the journey, but the Almighty God gave them the guiding cloud. Did you hear that? The guiding cloud that was over them, helping to direct them. Let us look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 22. Let us hear it.
And they took their journey.
And they took their journey.
From Succoth.
Uh-huh.
And encamped in Etham.
Uh-huh.
In the edge of the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord went before them.
And the Lord went before them. They were guided. They were not left up to traveling where they were. God guided them. Read on.
In a pillar of a cloud,
mm-hmm,
to lead them the way.
Everybody hear that? God provided a cloud over their head to lead them. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Almighty God provide light to lead us in the Christian pathway today? Do you know that this cloud was pointing to the light? In fact, brother, you don't finish with it. Read. It's from verse 20 to 22. Read.
In a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way.
Mm-hmm.
And by night,
mm-hmm,
in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
Yeah. Whether they were traveling in the day or in night, God was guiding them. Do you know what Jesus Christ has given us today as Christian? The gospel. What verse you start?
Verse 21.
Huh?
21.
Verse 21. Go on to 22.
He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night.
Isn't that wonderful? The light that God provided, the Bible is telling us God never take that away from them. I find that encouraging. Do you know that God provides light for us to live the Christian life today? And that is the gospel of Christ. Don't ever ignore it. Once you begin to ignore the gospel of Christ or the New Testament, you will be in trouble with God. Are we all there? This is why the Bible encouraged Christians to walk in the light. Are we all there? Jesus Christ told us in the book of St. John, rather 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. Quick, brother.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not
May I? When the Bible talks about walking in darkness, it's referring to men and women who think they can live their own lives without the word of God. That's right. Are you here today? You're not a child of God. You need the guidance of Jesus Christ according to his word. Wait. Not according to your guesswork. Not according to the way you feel. Not according to what you like. It is what we like that got us in trouble in the first place. Sin comes because man follows his own way instead of God's way. You were at 1 John chapter 1. You read verse 6. Let us have verse 7.
But if we walk in the light.
But if we walk in the light.
As he is in the light.
As he is in the light.
We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin.
We have to walk or live according to the gospel. That's the light. Are we all there? You don't believe me that the gospel is the light? Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to verse 7. The gospel is the light. Here the brothers just read from the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, telling us that there are some people who are walking in darkness, and that the Christian must not walk in darkness, and that if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us. Walking in the light means living by the gospel of Christ. Let us hear the passage. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did I say from verse 3 to verse 7, wherever there? Let us hear it.
But if our gospel be hid.
Everybody listening this? If our gospel be hid. Paul said, if you don't hear, if you don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, watch here now.
It is hid to them that are lost.
It is hid to men and women who are lost, meaning you have never put out any effort to learn about Jesus Christ through the gospel. Wait. And what it is implying, don't move from the passage. It is implying that without the gospel, we are lost. Read on.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them.
You hear that? That's Satan. You notice where he blind? It's not so much the biological eyes. It's the mind eyes, because it is the mind through which you are going to understand God's word. If Satan can keep the mind away from God's word, then you will walk in darkness and think you are walking in light. Read on.
Which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
You see, the first step towards coming towards that light is to believe. Faith. Read on.
Who is the image of God should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves.
Paul says, when we preach, we did not preach ourselves.
But Christ.
But Jesus Christ. That's whom we preach.
Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness,
God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness
hath shined in our hearts.
Hath shined in our hearts.
To give the light of the knowledge.
To give the light of the knowledge.
Of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God.
In the face of Jesus Christ.
Read on.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
You know what is the treasure? It's not a pot of gold. This is better than a pot of gold. The treasure is the gospel of Christ. The Bible says, the inspired apostle says, we have it in earthen vessels. Before we move on a little further, I need to explain that. Brothers and sisters, read that little part again, brother. Where we have it.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? It means the gospel of Jesus Christ is vested not in angel. Angels are heavenly beings. Don't wait on an angel to come into your bed, wake you up, and convert you. That will never happen. You know why? God vested the gospel in human beings. That's what the Bible refers to as earthen vessel. So I'm going to become a Christian, but may I wait till God calls me? And by that you mean you're waiting until something come and wake you up out of your sleep. That will never happen. That's right. The gospel is placed in earthen vessel. You're not finished, brother. Read on.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
That's right. Read on.
We are troubled on every side.
Uh-huh. What verse is that?
Verse 8.
Did you read from verse 3, the glorious gospel? Let me hear Romans. Chapter 2, verse 12 through verse 15.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law.
Mm-hmm.
And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
The point is, brothers and sisters, don't forget where we are, that the Almighty God provided the light and the direction and the command for the journey. I'm just recapping here to make sure you are where we are. Now, the Almighty God has never left man without some form of guidance. Never. Even in the situation where the Almighty God speaks about, where God's word speaks about, in the time of this ignorant God wink at, there was some degree of light that God provided man. In fact, very important that the passage and the consideration here that the brother is reading in Romans, it is pointing out that the Gentiles who did not have the law, they had some form of guidance given to them by God. Read that again, brother.
For as many as have sinned without law,
as many as have sinned without law,
shall also perish without law.
Shall perish without law. Read on.
And as many as have sinned in the law.
And as many as have sinned in the law.
Shall be judged by the law.
The point is, God has always provided some form of guidance for man. Man has never been left totally without some moral, spiritual, or religious guidance. What verse are you?
the end of verse 12.
Read on.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Read.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law,
do by nature
the things contained in the law, these,
having
not the law.
Wait. What you need to gather here as we move on is that the Gentile did not have the law. Amen. You know why they didn't have it? God didn't give them. There are people today tell you that God gave the Sabbath to all men. False. It was given only to the Jews and meant only for them. And here God's word is telling us the Gentile, which means the other nation, all the other nation except Israel. Israel had the law, had the Sabbath. God gave it to them. But not the Gentile. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature
the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves.
Read.
Which shew the work of the law written in their hearts.
Written where?
In their hearts.
Written where?
In their hearts.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this is talking about their conscience. That the Almighty God has always, in fact, God made us with an inner safety valve. I use the word safety valve conveniently. Our conscience, God made every man, every woman with something within that we can take wrong and wrongdoing only so far. Something within us going to tell us, speak to us that that is not right. So when the Gentile, all the other nation except Israel, go out and they do the murder and the this and the that, something within them tell them that that was not right. What is the point? We're on the point still. That God, when the Almighty God provided the cloud to guide the Israelite and the fire to guide them by night, this is telling us that God has always provided man with some form of directive, some form of light. Let us hear John chapter 3. In fact, Acts chapter 14. Verse 16 through 17.
Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways.
Start again.
Who in times past suffered.
The Almighty God in time past permitted. The word suffer means permitted. All nations to walk in their
own ways.
Own ways.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
He left not himself without witness.
The Almighty God has never run this world and not provided man with something to remind man that there is a God. That's what this passage is telling us. Listen as the brother read further.
In that he did good and gave us rain from heaven.
You hear what God witnesses? When the Bible says that he left not himself without witness, it wasn't talking about the Jehovah witnesses. It's talking about the goodness and the mercy and the benevolence of God. In that he did good. And he gave us rain from
heaven. And fruitful seasons.
And that he gave us fruitful
seasons.
Filling our hearts.
With food and gladness.
Food and gladness. Is that right? The good that we reap from God, the rain, the sunshine, having things to eat, they were meant to be God's witness to us. Even if we didn't have the Bible, these mercies of God is telling us that there is a God. So God has always provided evidence of his existence and light to guide us in the path that we suppose to go. As we wrap up here, I just want to, because I don't want this to, while it is a part of next week's lesson, but if I mention it now, very little time will be spent on it next week so as to give us time to cover some ground. In the journey of the Israelite, they had reached a point where, as I've said, they thirst for water. There was no, it was like a desert, there was no water anywhere around, and there was no one to provide water for the Israelite. As most of us adults know, water is more urgent and necessary than food. If ever you have to make a choice in going somewhere, whether to carry some food or water, carry water. If you have to choose between the two, because water is more essential to the body than food. Food is essential. So the Israelites reached a point where there was no water. To their surprise, Moses could not provide them the water that they needed. Brothers and sisters, the whole substance of this lesson, when we come back to this lesson next week, is the fact that, in fact, run to the passage, brother. Exodus chapter 17. Quick. You may start at verse 3 or verse 4 somewhere there.
And the people thirsted there for water.
You start at the right verse. And the people thirsted there for water.
And the people murmured against Moses.
The people murmured against Moses.
And said. Wherefore? Is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us?
Do you bring us out of Egypt to kill us?
And our children.
And to kill our children.
And our cattle.
And to kill our cattle.
With thirst.
Brothers and sisters, it's no accident that they reached this point. God was the one leading them. But Brother Mitchell, how could God lead them at a point where they have to face this great need? Watch here now. This great need was God's doing. God brought them to a point. Not only that they had a need, but their human leader Moses could not satisfy that need. Wait. It's going to take a miracle, and it's going to take the intervention of heaven to alleviate this need. All of this was pointing to the need for Jesus Christ that exists in the life of every man. All what you see is going on here. In fact, Jesus Christ took up all the important incident that happened in the life of the Israelite and relate them to himself, in effect telling us it was about me and man's salvation. Jesus Christ took up the slaughtered sheep under the Old Testament and tell us that he was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ in the book of St. John chapter 3 and somewhere about verse 14 there tell us that when Moses put the brazen serpent on a rod and planted it in the midst of Israel, that was about Jesus Christ and man's sin. So Jesus Christ took that up and says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What Jesus Christ is telling us, that when Moses placed that serpent made out of brass and planted it in the midst of the Israelite, it was pointing to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus Christ, in the book of St. John chapter 2, represented himself as the true temple of God. When Solomon built the temple, beautiful building, Jesus Christ saying that was pointing to him. In the book of St. John chapter 3, he relate the serpent. In the book of St. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ tell us that when the Almighty God miraculously fed the children of Israel by angel food in the wilderness, sending manna from heaven, Jesus Christ says, I am the true bread of heaven. In the book of St. John chapter 7, Jesus Christ represents himself as the rock that follow the children of Israel. And in chapter 8 of the book of John, Jesus Christ represents himself as the light-giving cloud. In other words, all the important incident that happened in the life of the Israelite as they march from Egypt to the promised land, Jesus Christ relate them to himself. The incident of Christ being the rock, the incident of the thirst that the Israelite experienced, that no man, no nation that was there to help Israel. There are certain needs that you and I have that no earthly being, earthly achievement, earthly success can replace. Next week, we look more at the significance and the importance of the thirst of the Israelite, pointing to a need within us that no man, no earthly achievement or success can satisfy or replace. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, that was that rock. Why was it important that Moses on one occasion speak to the rock, but on this occasion the rock had to be struck to send forth water? Next week we get more into that. Jesus Christ is the rock. Brothers and sisters, we need Jesus Christ, and there's nothing we are going to achieve, nothing, no success we are going to experience that can take the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are on a journey. Jesus Christ provides a light in the gospel. Let us make sure that we are following that light. We are on a journey, and this journey has a destination. Let us make sure that we end up at that destination in the condition that God wants us to be in. Are you here today, not a child of God? First, if you are not a Christian, you need Jesus Christ. In the same way the Israelites needed water, they were thirsty, you needed Christ. That's what that thirst was all about. You can have Jesus Christ today through believing in him, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sins.